It is great to be with you today. Now, as he said, I am from Alabama. That's where I live now. I was born and raised in Michigan. So if you notice that I have more of a Yankee accent than I do a Southern accent, that's the reason for that. Now, living in Alabama has been a real experience. I mean, when I first moved south, I had to learn to at least develop a little bit of a Southern accent just to survive. I mean, you know, Yankees aren't good things down there. And one of the things I learned when I moved to Alabama is they think they invented football. I mean, they do. It created by Bear Bryant, no doubt about that. But I've never seen a place as crazy about sports as Alabama. And in our church, we have 40% of our people are Auburn fans, and 40% of our people are Alabama fans. The other 20% of us are saved. Actually, I'm always asked the question, who do you root for on Sundays? And because I'm from Michigan, my favorite team is whoever's playing Notre Dame. Man, I just want to see him get beat. And you got to understand, both Michigan and Michigan State, that's been their nemesis the entire time I've been alive, just about. And so that's what I root for. Now, I want to tell you a story, but I've got to make sure that you understand the terms that I'm using before I tell you the story. How many here know what a mater is? A mater. That's a tomato. Listen, I told this. I'm having to do this. I told this story up in New York. Nobody laughed because they didn't know what a mater was. How about a tater? How many know what a tater is? Oh, a lot more of you. Okay, a potato. And how many know what a nanner is? And it's not grandma. All right. It's a banana, okay? So there were two graduates, one of each of the Alabama schools, one from Alabama, the other from Auburn. And they graduated, and they'd become friends because they worked together someplace, and they were out driving in the Alabama guy's truck. And so they're kind of riding around talking. The Auburn guy said to him, he said, I need you to stop over here at the store. I need to get a mater and tater and two nanners. And so you understand why I had to make sure you understood the terms. A mater and tater and two nanners. And so the Alabama guy pulled in. Auburn guy went into the store. And he goes up to the counter. He says, I want a mater and tater and two nanners. And the guy said, you're a graduate from Auburn, aren't you? He said, how'd you know that? He said, by the way you talked. He said, really? I mean, I asked for a mater and tater and two nanners, and you knew I was from Auburn? You knew that by the way I talked? He says, exactly so. Well, he gets him, he goes back out in the truck, and they start going down the road again, and he tells the Alabama guy, I said I want a mater and tater and two nanners, and that guy said, you're from Auburn, I can tell by the way you talk. He said, do you think they can really do that? Well, the Alabama guy said, I don't know, but let's find out. So he pulled into a store, he went inside, and he said, I want a mater and tater and two nanners, and the guy said, you're a graduate of Alabama, aren't you? He said, how could you tell that by the way I talked? He said, no, this is a hardware store. So, but they're absolutely nuts down there. Anyway, turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to begin reading in verse 21. And the scripture says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I want to speak for a few moments today on virtual reality Christianity. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I beg you today for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, that as I preach, the truth from your word will go deep into every heart. Lord, move upon us today. For any who've never truly been born again, may they clearly see their need for the Son of God and turn to Jesus and be saved today. Father, I pray for Christians that our hearts will be stirred to want to be the real thing, that we may represent Christ as we ought. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. What is salvation? Now, let me give you my testimony to start out. I was not brought up in a Christian home. I was brought up in a home of drinking and cursing, and the only time I heard the name Jesus growing up was as a curse word. My mom and dad were both factory workers. They worked at the curtain rod company. My dad was an electrician. My mom worked on the assembly line. And basically, whenever we weren't at home, we were either at the Moose or the Eagles or the VFW or the bowling alley, one of those four places. When we kids didn't go with our parents and we were at home watching Bonanza and, you know, Get Smart and all those other programs from way back then, we were brought up by the TV. Now, that's how we were brought up. When I was a junior in high school, I started working for the local radio station, became their night announcer my senior year of high school, and I was their rock and roll music guy from my senior year on through my first year of college, which was at Glen Oaks Community College. And then I went up to Kalamazoo, Michigan, where I was the number one disc jockey in the city from 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock, the drive time, playing rock and roll music. Now, I later went into country western music at another station just on the north side of Kalamazoo. And at that radio station, I had an announcer ask me if I'd like to play softball with his church team. Now, I'm a sports nut. I've always been a sports nut. I was never much of a hunter, maybe because I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, but I just wasn't a hunter. But if you could hit it, throw it, kick it, I like to do it. And so I said, sure, I'll play. And he says, well, there is one catch. You have to go to church at least once a week in order to be able to play. And it had to be their church. And so I said, well, I don't know about that. I went home and talked to my wife, and we thought it couldn't hurt us. We'd been married about two and a half years. And we thought it couldn't hurt us to go to church once a week. It was the first time in my life that I ever heard that I was a sinner. I used to feel that one day I'd stand before God. By the way, I did believe in God. I believed there was a God. And I would even pray every night. Now, I wouldn't pray out loud. I would have been embarrassed for my wife to have heard me pray. But as I lay in bed before I'd go to sleep, I would pray the only prayer I had ever heard on TV. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, since that's all they ever prayed on TV, I didn't know anything beyond that. And I repeated that every night. And so when that preacher got up there and said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you know, I didn't get it at first. I didn't realize that in the eyes of God, I wasn't a good person. I was a sinner. I used to feel I'd stand before the God of heaven one day and there'd be this big scale. And on one side of the scale, he'd put all my good works. And on the other side of the scale, he'd put all my bad works. And the good would outweigh the bad and God would let me into heaven. But I found out it didn't work that way. For the Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. According to the scripture, I was trusting filthy rags to get me to heaven. As a matter of fact, he went on to say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That because I've sinned, I've come short of the glory of God, and the only way I could get to heaven was to accept the free gift offered by Jesus Christ. Speaking of Jesus Christ, it was also the first time in my life that I found out who he was. Now, we had a number of Catholics that lived around us, and so if you would have shown me a crucifix, I would have been able to identify Jesus as being on the cross. I at least knew that much, even though we didn't go to church. But I had no idea that he was the Son of God. I had no idea that when he died on the cross, he was dying on the cross to pay for my sin. Now get this, I was 21 years of age when I finally first heard this. I had never learned that before. I didn't know that on the cross of Calvary that God took all of Mike Allison's sins and everybody else's sins and put them on his Son. For the Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I didn't know that 3 days later Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. Now, how in the world could you live in this country for 21 years and not have the slightest idea what Easter was about? Man, I thought it was about the Easter Bunny. Some rabbit laying colored eggs and hiding them from children. I had not, now I didn't believe in Easter Bunny, but I thought, what a ridiculous holiday that is. Of course, then I found out from this preacher that no, that's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the Bible says he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So here I was, country western disc jockey, one Saturday in the fall of that year. I had just turned 22. In the fall of that year, I had played my 4.5 hours of country music on a Saturday evening. And then a preacher had a half-hour broadcast from 4:30 to 5. At the end of the broadcast, he said, if you want to trust Christ as your Savior, you can do it right now, right where you're at. Now listen, I didn't know a lot of Bible. I didn't know, for instance, that there were 4 books written by John in the Bible, 4 of them with the name of John, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. I was ignorant. I still called leaven, leaven. I had no idea about all the different terms. I was basically Bible ignorant, but I at least learned that according to the Bible, I was a sinner. I was going to hell. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross to pay for my sins, and 3 days later rose up from the dead. And he said, if you want to trust Christ as Savior, you can do it right now, right where you're at. So there at WAOP radio station, at about 5 o'clock in the evening on that Saturday evening, I bowed my head and I asked God to forgive my sins, and I took Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you have to understand, I didn't know much Bible. I mean, I just gave you the sum total of everything that I knew and that I had learned in that time that I've been going. I was still ignorant of so many things. I didn't know what I was supposed to do next. I didn't have the slightest clue. But that week, the pastor of that church came out to the mobile home where my wife and I lived, specifically to try to win me to Christ. He went through the gospel message, show me how to get saved. And I said, well, pastor, I did that. And he said, when? I said, well, last week at the radio station. I bowed my head and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. I said, but I don't understand. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. And he said, well, the Bible says we're to confess him before men. What you need to do is you need to come forward at the church next Sunday when I give the invitation and let the people know that you've trusted Christ as Savior. I said, I'll do it. And so that next Sunday, we were there, came invitation time. I went forward. And when I got to the front, pastor took me by the hand and he said to me, what are you coming forward for? And I thought, well, that's strange. We just discussed that a couple days ago. I said, well, I'm coming to let people know that I've gotten saved. And then I said to him, now we need to pray for my wife that she'll get saved. And so he let everybody know I trusted Christ as Savior. And that next Thursday night, he came again out to our mobile home. And that night, in the living room of our house, he led my wife to Jesus Christ. Our lives changed dramatically. I mean, a person who has life in Christ, there's a difference. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And boy, we start going to church then, not to play softball. We wanted to learn more about God, more about the Bible, more about our Savior. We wanted to have a close walk with him. In the next 2 months, I read through my New Testament 5 times. I couldn't get enough of it. I loved it. By the way, I read several chapters in my Bible this morning, even after all these years, since 1971. That's 41. That's a lot of years that I've been saved. And I still love reading his word. Thy words were found and I did eat them, said Jeremiah. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Now, it's amazing, we come to this passage of Scripture today, spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he talks about a group of people who at Judgment Day are going to stand before him. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, let me start with the beginning of the verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. They were religious, but they didn't have it. Let me tell you the wrong time to find out you're not going to heaven. And that's when you're standing before God. If you're going to get it settled, you have to get it settled today. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." God says, "I've written these things in the Bible so that you could know that you have eternal life." But according to Jesus, there are a lot of people that are religious. There are a lot of people that know about Him, even know enough to call Him Lord, and even do things supposedly in His name, but He's never known them. Down in Huntsville, Alabama, we are inundated with computer people. And for some reason, they call them all engineers. Now, that's always disturbed me since I've been in Alabama, because to me, an engineer is a guy who guides a train. But matter of fact, they have a statement around Huntsville, Alabama, that if you took all the engineers in Huntsville, Alabama, and laid them end to end around the equator, it would be a good thing. Anyway, they hate it when I say that, by the way. They hate it when I say it. But nevertheless, these guys are really proficient in the things they do. And a few years ago, several years ago now, they came up with virtual reality, which really wasn't so virtual back then. But today, they do amazing things with virtual reality. If you've ever gone to some of the amusement places, the tourist places around the country, you'll go to some places where you can take a space ride, or you can get on a plane in a virtual reality machine. And you get on the plane and you sit there and you take off and you fly around. You may fly 3,000 miles and then you land, and boy, you felt the wind turbulence and you felt the landing and you felt the takeoff. You felt everything, and yet you land. You get out, and the reality is, inside that box, it may have looked like you flew for 3,000 miles, but you didn't go anywhere the whole time. Virtual reality is basically something that lies to you about where you're at. And you can get convinced of that. As a matter of fact, you can get so convinced that you're on a roller coaster in one of these things that you come out throwing up. As a matter of fact, some people throw up before they come out. How many ever been in one of those things? Anybody here been in one of those things? Only a few of you. Okay, well, I was hoping more of you had seen that before. You know, they've got those things now where you can just put on those certain goggles. And you can stand there, and sometimes if you see any of those funny videos, people are standing there, and they're swatting things, and they fall over their TV set, which is probably a good thing anyway. You know, they wreck their homes because they get this idea that they're someplace that they're really not there. Well, here are some people in the passage that Jesus Christ talked about. And these were people who thought they were going to heaven because of the things that they had done. And Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Now, you talk about tragedies of tragedies. That's a tragedy. Now, I know there are virtual reality games that you can get for your computer. Than their virtual reality golf. Now, isn't that wonderful? Matter of fact, a friend of mine had that. Said, "Preacher, you need to try this since you like golf so much." So I said, "Okay." And so, you know, it wasn't golf. What it was, you sit there, and I don't even know what the machine was that he had, but you move the stick like this, and on the screen, a ball goes flying out there 300 yards. I've only hit one 300-yard drive in my life, and that was downhill. And then you get up there and you putt, but you're not really hitting anything. You're not playing golf. You're not outside. You're sitting in there moving your arms, looking like a dope to everyone who sees you. It's not golf. And I got news for you, folks. There's a lot of folks going through life with a virtual religion, and they don't have the reality that's in Christ, and they're going to find out way too late to do anything about it. So first of all, let me mention the virtual reality salvation. Turn over for a moment to the book of Luke, chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, you have Jesus again telling another story. And notice he says, beginning in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. That word publican, that's not a short for republican. It's a publican. A publican was a tax collector. Now, you say, well, that sounds good for the republic. No, no, that's not what it was. It was a publican. Publicans were hated people, and they were hated because every publican was given a certain area that he was responsible for the taxes of that area. And what he would do, he is given a certain amount that he was to collect, but he would add to it. And whatever he took in that was over what the area owed, he got to keep. And so they were hated people by the Jews that were around there because that helped to keep them in bondage to the Romans. Now the Pharisee, this guy's a very religious guy. Matter of fact, Pharisees, look at his life. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I don't know many Christians that fast twice a week. He said, I give tithes of all that I possess. There are a lot of people going to church who don't tithe. Tithe is the 10% of their income, according to the scripture. As a matter of fact, the word itself means tithe. He says, now, so this guy, he's unusual. This guy believes in God so much that he's willing to fast twice a week. He prays 3 to 5 times a day. He tithes of everything that he has. That's his whole lifestyle. Meanwhile, the publican, this hated guy standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's a man. He had nothing to do with God, but he comes to realization there's a holy God in heaven. He's lost. He's going to die and go to hell. And he cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Notice Jesus' comment, verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Here you have a good man lost and a bad man saved. Here you have a man who recognized his sinful condition and did what he needed to do. He turned to Jesus Christ for salvation. The other man was religious, so he thought he was going to heaven because he was religious. But religion doesn't take anybody to heaven. Jesus made a statement in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't say, except a man be a Baptist, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't say, except a man be a church member, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't say, except a man be baptized, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. As a matter of fact, when Jesus made that statement in John chapter 3, he was talking to one of those Pharisees. One of those Pharisees that fasted. One of those Pharisees that prayed. One of those Pharisees that didn't do things that other men did. And he was talking to that man who must have thought he was okay. He didn't get what Jesus said. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't get the reality of what real Christianity is. He didn't get the reality that to get to heaven, it's not in those things that he does. So Jesus goes on to tell them, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He said, ye must be born again. I don't have any doubt that old Nicodemus there was thinking that, sure, yeah, those people that go to the bars, they've got to be born again. Yeah, those people that curse and swear, they've got to be born again. Jesus said, marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You see, what he had was a virtual reality salvation. It wasn't real. It made him, he was religious. He looked good to everybody. He looked like he must be spiritual. He looked like he must be sincere. But he was lost. You see, we have to understand, first of all, there is a holy God in heaven. And that we have sinned, all of us, against that holy God of heaven. Now, what we like to do is we like to compare ourselves to other people. And so we'll look at somebody who's definitely not as nice and good as we are, not as loving as we are. Matter of fact, they may be rather harsh. They may be a drinker and curser, just an all-around bad guy in the neighborhood. And we, well, at least I'm not like them. I'm a lot better than him. But you see, it's not being better than him that takes you to heaven. You're not as good as Jesus. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says just before that verse, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's pretend for just a second. And let's say this was a cliff right here. And off this cliff right here, 1,000 feet below, there are rocks and stones and all of that. And out there about, 100 yards, 300 feet is the other side, heaven. And so now I'm going to run and jump and go as far as I can because I want to get to the other side. And so even though I may be 69, I'm still really athletic. I'm sure I could jump at least 3 feet. And so I run and jump, and I have the best jump I've ever made. I jump 20 feet, and I end up on the rocks below. And then a young athlete comes up here. This guy, man, he's trained all of his life. He's 22 years old. He's in the best of health. And he runs and he jumps and he passes me by another 10 feet. But you know, the result is exactly the same. Some people will jump farther. Some people will jump shorter. But there is no difference. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. You may even look at some church member and say, well, I'm better than that church guy. I mean, that guy, he's a sorry guy. He's got a sorry attitude. I'm better than him. No, he's not the standard. Jesus is. Are you better than Jesus? Are you as good as Jesus? You're not even close. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so God took his son and put him on the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt. Because you can't get to heaven on your own. You're lost. You're undone. There's nothing you can do that'd be good enough to get you to heaven. And then after dying for your sins, he was buried. And 3 days later, he rose up from the dead. Again, the verse, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification so that we could be declared not guilty before the God of heaven. He's paid it all. You see, I had to come to the place where I realized I didn't have any good works, first of all, to put before him. And even if I did, if I had 1,000 good works, 1,000,000 good works, it couldn't get me 1 square inch of heaven. They were all filthy rags to God. And that Jesus Christ paid the full sin debt. Now, I want you to get this verse. Matter of fact, I want you to turn to it. I want you to see it. It's John chapter 14. I've quoted it already, but I want you to see it for yourself. John 14. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night before his crucifixion, is talking to his disciples. Now, I want you to notice very clearly what Jesus Christ said, because he put a dividing line here that makes it so plain that if he is who he said he is, if he is the Christ, if he is God of very gods, then this has to be true. He says in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Notice he didn't say a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now notice what he says next. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, I think there are people going to heaven from all religions. Jesus said, no siree. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. He said, I'm it. There's no other way. You said, well, what about Muhammad? He didn't die for your sins. God didn't place your sins upon him and shed his blood for him. And by the way, he also didn't rise from the dead. Jesus Christ came bodily out of the grave. He is the Savior that God sent. I want you to understand the importance of this verse, verse 6, because if Jesus is not the only way, then he's no way at all. Jesus made it plain. And I've had a lot of people tell me, well, you know, I don't believe all the Bible. I just believe the words of Jesus. So what about this right here? I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's it. He didn't say no man cometh to the Father but by the church. He said no man cometh to the Father but by me. He didn't say no man cometh to the Father but by being baptized. He said no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, if you believe the scriptures, if you believe the word of Jesus, then you've got to understand he's the only way you can get there. If you've been trusting the church to get you to heaven, you're lost. And you stand in jeopardy of standing before God one day and having him say, depart from me. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. And there are so many people that are like that. I'm talking about Baptists They're going to be Baptists who are going to end up burning in hell because they never got born again. They signed a little card when they came forward in a service. They came forward, started even putting money in the offering plate, but they never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save them. You say, preacher, what does that mean? For instance, Jesus said in John 3:16, very famous verse, he said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does that mean to believe in him? Let's see if I can get a chair here without knocking everything over and see if we can demonstrate it for you. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to answer me by simply raising your hand. That's it. How many of you believe that this chair right here is here? Would you raise your hand? It's not a hard quiz, you know. I mean, I'm from Alabama. What do you expect out of me? All right. You believe that the chair's here. And I would agree with that. How many of you believe that if you sat in this chair, that it would hold you up? Would you raise your hand? All right. Now, you believe in the chair. You believe it's there. Now, here's the trick question. Here's the big question. How many of you is this chair holding up right now? Raise your hand. I can. It's not holding you up. It's holding me up. Okay, you didn't understand what I said. All right, but that's all right. No, I want you to get it. But you believe in the chair. So why isn't it holding you up? You're not trusting the chair to hold you up. There are a lot of people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, believe that he died on the cross to pay for their sins, believe that he rose 3 days later from the dead, but they've never put all their trust in Jesus to save them. When he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have to have a time in your life when you put all your faith and trust in him. Not him plus something else. Not him and the church. Not him and baptism, but him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In the fall of 1971, I bowed my head and I put all my trust because I realized I was a hell-bound sinner, that my only hope of getting to heaven was in him. And I put all my trust in him to save me. And when I did that, he gave me the free gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You say, preacher, how do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Because the Bible says I am. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Believeth on the Son. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. According to the word of God, I'm going to heaven when I die because I put my trust in Jesus Christ to save me. And there's a proof of that. As I've already said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When he saved me, he changed me. Everybody who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and puts their faith and trust in him, he changes and makes new creatures. Now, that's the reality of salvation. And if you want to go to heaven, you have to step from the virtual reality world of what I want God to do and what I want God to be and what I want Jesus to be and take him for who he is. He is the Savior, the only Savior. There's nobody else. The Apostle Peter believed that. In Acts 4:12, he declared, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So either, again, he is the only way, or he is no way at all. Listen, make sure you don't have a virtual reality salvation. You need to get him. For instance, when an invitation is given at the end of messages in this church, at the church I pastor at in Madison, Alabama, makes no difference. When they come forward, we don't tell them to become Baptist, because that would just keep them on the road to hell. What we do is turn them to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, because they can go to heaven without being a Baptist, but they can't go to heaven without Jesus. Nobody can go to heaven without Jesus. Only those who have Christ are going to heaven. That's it. How do you know that? Bible says so. That's how I know it. That's enough. But then there are some people, unfortunately, even among those who have trusted Christ as Savior, who want a virtual reality church. And I don't get that. I don't know about you. I want the real thing. There are a lot of people that don't mind the outward forms. They don't mind having a pastor, a figurehead. They don't mind having some deacons. They don't mind having, you know, some kind of service. Some people want a long service. Some people want a short service. Some people want a quiet preacher. And some people want a loud preacher. And some people want a, I call it a Tennessee wind-sucking preacher, you know. Everybody here knows what a Tennessee wind-sucking preacher is. I lived in Tennessee for a number of years, and it's a guy who gets up there, and he's saying, like if he was doing John 3:16, it'd be, "For God, ha, so loved, ha, the world, ha, that he gave, ha, his own." Now, wait a second. I'm not making fun of him. Really, those guys reach a lot of people. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not one of those. But I'm not quiet either. Doesn't make any difference. It's what the message is that counts. And even if he's a quiet guy and never, ha, or never raises his voice, as long as he gives you the truth from that book, that's what you need to get. It's the truth of the book that counts. And there are guys who are Tennessee windsuckers, guys who are quiet, guys who are semi-loud, guys who are real loud. Doesn't make any difference. But they're loud and don't mind the outward form. As a matter of fact, back in Exodus chapter 32, you got Aaron, the high priest, making a false god, making a calf, calling it Jehovah. They were doing all the religious stuff. They were falling down and worshiping a calf. And God went to Moses and said he was going to destroy them all. And that's what would have happened had Moses not prayed. Because, you see, they went from the real thing to a virtual reality worship. A vain worship that counted for nothing. You need to have it right. They don't mind. They don't want the reality of a church where the preacher gets up and preaches like God said. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul said, "I charge thee therefore before God the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Now, I know a lot of people, they go to work all week and they've got to think all week. And man, they don't want to have to go to church and think. Well, that's the place where you better do your most thinking. Because when you're talking about worshiping God, you're not talking about worshiping a feeling. You're not talking about satisfying the flesh. You're talking about the God of heaven who took his son and put him on the cross for your sins. You better give some thought to serious eternal things. For that, you want to go to a place that's going to give it to you like God said to give it. So he told Timothy, he said, "Preach the word." And then he said, "Reprove." Who likes to be reproved? I don't care to be reproved. Then he said, "Rebuke." Well, who wants to be rebuked? And then he says, "And exhort with all long suffering." Preacher, can't you get off that? Tell me something sweet and lovely and wonderful and nice. Read your Bible. It's got a lot of sweet and wonderful and nice things. But to the preacher, he says, "Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Why? The warning's given, for the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine. He said, "Timothy, I want you to know something. Those people you pastor now, you love them to death. You've knocked yourself out for them." He says, "I want you to reprove, I want you to rebuke, I want you to exhort, because if you don't, the time's coming when they won't endure sound doctrine anymore." As a result, what we end up today in America is all kinds of nonsense and garbage being brought into churches that have nothing to do with God, where they basically have set up their own calf idolatry that satisfies everything the flesh wants, but doesn't satisfy the God of heaven. You see, our church, Madison Baptist Church, is not a seeker-friendly church. Our church wants to be a God-friendly church. We want to obey Him. We want to give God's message. And that ought to be the desire. And by the way, I don't care what denominational name you put after it. There are a whole lot of places. All they're about is just simply getting the crowd. They're not about getting people to Jesus. And if you don't get them to the Christ of this book, then they're still lost. And they'll stand before God and hear, "Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." You see, I don't want a virtual reality church. I want the real thing. By the way, for some people, their virtual reality church is a church of perfect relationships. Why is it some people think that if it's a good church, I'm going to get along with everybody? I don't care where you go, you're not going to get along with everybody. Well, somebody looked at me bad. Son, that's never kept anybody out of a football game. It's never kept anybody out of the grocery store. Never kept anybody from the Rotary or the Kiwanis or any of those things. But I'll take them out of church. Now, I tell folks, if it looks like I'm looking at you and frowning, understand, I'm not even thinking about you. I don't even see you. Because if I see people... But everybody has times when you're thinking about something and you're not seeing what you're seeing. Anybody? People want to use that as an excuse, though, to drop out of church. Everything's not perfect in church. Do you know why? Because it's full of sinners saved by grace who aren't perfect yet. One day, by the way, they'll be perfect. That's heaven. That's later. Right now, it's not going to be perfect. We understand that about one another. Actually, church is a hospital where the spiritually sick come to be made well. But it's going to take a while. That's reality. That's reality, church. So yeah, why do you go, preacher? I'll tell you why I go. I want to hear the word of God. I go to church because I want to be around God's people. The Bible says we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I like being with God's people. I told you my dad was a drunkard, bless his heart, in the home I grew up in. And why did he want to be at the Eagles and the Moose and the VFW and the bowling alley all the time? It wasn't about bowling. It was about he wanted to be around drinkers. That's what he was. He wanted to be around drinkers. And the fact that sometimes they didn't treat him right didn't keep him from going back and drinking again. Guess what? I want to be around God's people. And yeah, they don't always treat me right, but I still want to be around them because they're God's people. I don't want a virtual reality church. I want the real thing. Now, the most dangerous thing is to have a virtual reality salvation. Do you have the real thing? And I know this pastor. And I know the pastor before this one right here, the other brother Star. And I know that their desire for everybody, first and foremost, is that you know the real Savior, Jesus Christ. Everybody that's here, do not leave this building today without having it settled that you've got the real salvation in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.